For the last few days, I've had a subject on my mind I'd like to share with you. We've heard this saying in the past, maybe it's the year of the Olympics, and they will say, we're going for the gold. And I've had on my mind the last few days about gold, the temporal part and the spiritual part. How man looks at gold today, and how God compares gold to how valuable our spiritual life is. So I was thinking this, what gave gold its value? I looked in the Bible because I was curious, when was the first time that someone even talked about gold? You know, it was right after creation. It was in the second chapter of Genesis. It said the gold of that land was good. Good for what? So I started looking, reading about it, and it said, other than looking pretty, gold has no value other than the value that humans have placed on it. You know, gold was just a pretty rock when Adam and Eve was here. There wasn't a store to trade it with. You know, what could Eve have done? I want to buy something with this. Wasn't needed. But along came time where gold started being valuable, and so valuable that when we hear about Solomon's temple, he had gold so plentiful that he was putting it on the doors of the temple and plating things with it. So we read about how valuable it was then to them, and then we read a little later about how valuable it became to the Syrians because Hezekiah was cutting it off the doors and giving it to them, trying to keep them from coming in and fighting them. So the efforts that people have made over the years to go after literal gold. Have you ever read about the gold rush of 1849? You know, there's times that we travel to California now. It seems like a long trip. You could drive overnight and be there tomorrow. When they heard that there was gold in California in 1849, and they set out, some of them by land, to go there, they were months. I mean, it was still the covered wagon days. There was no trains. There was no something easy to get there. But the efforts that they were willing to put forth, because I hear that there's gold there. And some decided, you know what, instead of going by land, I'm going to go by ship. So they would go to Central America, leave on the East Coast, go to Central America, and there was no Panama Canal at that time. So they would get off and do maybe a week's travel through Panama, through the kind of jungles down there, to get to the other side, to the ocean, catch a ship to go back up to San Francisco and in those areas, because they were looking for gold. And as I read that, it said, you know what, there was somebody that consistently made money during that time. It wasn't the folks going after gold. It was the shopkeepers. It was the folks that was restaurants, I'm fixing something for you to eat. Because consistently those folks that did all that traveling had to have something. But the effort that was put into that, the gold price in 1849, if you could find some of it, was $20 an ounce. Now, back in 1849, that was a lot of money. Today, gold's value is at $1,500 an ounce in the last few months. Then I thought about the Olympics. They are going for the gold. Their desire is, those athletes, I would like to take home a gold medal. And you know, those folks didn't start practicing last year for the sport that they're going to go for the gold in. Many of them, if you read about them, they started as a child. Really, it was a dream of their parents. Their parents forced many of them to keep on exercising, keep on going after this as a small child. I remember when I worked in Tulsa, the building that we worked in had an ice skating rink. And at 5:30 in the morning, before the children would go to school, there would be people, girls and children out there skating, trying to perfect, trying to get better and better. And you know, some of those had a dream. Someday I want to be able to go out for the Olympics because there's some gold that I can get there. You know what? I checked on that. In 2018, the gold medals that they get, if they were to get them and then take them and trade them in at the value of gold, it was $560. And they spent their life so far trying to perfect this skill to be able to win this gold. Well, I'm not so interested tonight in the temporal, but you know what? God has thoughts himself about what is valuable. In Isaiah 55, I'd like to look at a verse because he has some things that he puts importance on that's valuable. 55 and 8, he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, your ways, neither your ways, my ways, saith the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You know what? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, even about this subject. Yes. You know, he put gold out there. What gives it its value? Because it has, it's scarce is one thing. If gold was so plentiful like you could gravel your driveway with it, it would have no value. There's so much of it. It's just so readily available. So they said one reason that gold was used was, could have used iron, but it corrodes. Gold is one thing that does not corrode. But it also is hard to get. You know, for all the effort that they put forth in that gold rush and all through the years, I think of the people that will take that little pan and stand out in that stream and shaking it out to see if they could get them a little flake, little bit of gold, and the efforts that was put into it. The Olympics and the efforts that was put into it to get a little bit of gold. Let's look at another one. This moves it over into the spiritual. This is in 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter and the 24th verse, where it starts kind of comparing that, the literal with the spiritual. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air." They do it to obtain a corruptible crown. A $560 piece of gold is what they get from it. We are striving to receive an incorruptible crown, one that will not fade away. There was another verse in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1 and the 4th verse. "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." You know, that's what I'm looking for. I'm not so interested in the literal gold, but there is something that is very valuable that God has for us. Colossians 3 and 1. "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth." How valuable it will be, as we have heard these last 3 weeks with Sister Maxine, of being ready for that last day. How valuable it will have be, would be for me if I'm able to balance the temporal with the spiritual. Because I cannot shut off the temporal. I've got to be able to do it. Gold today is valuable. I'd like to have a little bit of it myself. But you know what's going to be very important is that I don't set my heart on it. When I see that verse that talks about the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully, and then some things started happening inside his heart. You know, if he could have heard the messages that we've been hearing the last 3 weeks, this is all temporal. It's going to be gone in a little bit of time. It's all going to pass away. And if it doesn't, I'm going to pass away. My end is coming. But he forgot that. His, the value was what he had right then. And then what he heard was, "Thou fool, this night your soul is going to be required of you." And then who is all this gold, this valuable things that you have, whose will it be? It's real important, I believe, for me to realize that. But I also, I've got to balance it. Who is a wise and faithful steward that I am able to take care of my family? I am able to provide for the future if possible, and yet I don't get my heart set on it. I'm going to need the Lord's help to be able to do that. And there was a verse in Luke, the 16th chapter. This was kind of an interesting verse, because sometimes we will say, okay, temporal is not important, spiritual only is important. But this one says in 16 and 11 of Luke, "If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon," if you've not been faithful in the riches that are, or the money or the things that are provided for you, who will commit to your trust the true riches? So he's almost saying, be faithful in your temporal things, because God would like to have you, give you some true riches that will be more important than that. Here's one of the true riches: wisdom. How would you compare wisdom to being able to get you a few ounces of gold? Which one would be more important? It says wisdom is knowledge that I now apply into my life. I understand this, and now I apply it into my life. Here it starts doing some comparing to some things that are more valuable than these temporal things. I'd like to look in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter. Because, you know, we can be in the world and all we hear is about get you some money stacked up. It's the most important thing that can happen. And then we hear messages like we've heard in the last few weeks that, hey, the end is coming. Be real careful that you're prepared. Proverbs 3 and 13. "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. The merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, the gain thereof than fine gold." The merchandise of wisdom and understanding is better, is more important than the temporal gold that this world goes after. There's another verse in Proverbs 16 and 16. "How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver?" Do I look at it that, Lord, I would like to have wisdom and understanding? Solomon had an opportunity to tell the Lord, "I would like the most gold there is in the world." God told him, said, "You just ask what you want and I'll give it to you." And his request was, "I'm just a child. I don't know how to rule this people. Lord, what I need is wisdom." These scriptures are telling us wisdom is more important than the money that's available around us. There was another verse in Matthew 13, 13th chapter, gives us a little picture. Matthew 13 and 45. "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found a pearl of great price, he went and sold all that he had, and he bought it." The kingdom of heaven is like that. You know, I was thinking about the value of a pearl. What caused a pearl to have a value? it's what man placed on it. You know, before it was just something pretty to look at. But then man started saying this has value to it. So this one, the kingdom of heaven now, it has a value to it. It's similar to the man that says that finds a pearl and he realizes the value that's been placed on it by those around him. And he says, I know what this is worth and I'm going after it. You know, the world today will tell us there's not much value in what we call valuable. But, you know what? It was really good for this man that there was folks around him that didn't understand the value of a goodly pearl either. It was available to him when he found it. For us to be able to understand what is true value for us and how does God look at it. How readily available something is can cause it to lose its value. And you know, we can do that with the Bible. It is readily available. If I lose mine tonight for $3, I can stop by a store and pick up another one and go with it. And you know what happens? When some things are so readily available, we don't put the value on it that we should. How much do I value what it contains? How valuable is it to me? I was looking at some verses in Psalms 119. This was the kind of value that he put on the Word of God. Psalms 119 and 127. Therefore, I love thy commandments above gold. So this is really saying I'm getting some understanding here of what true value is. If I had the choice between them, the value of his commandments and me following them and what comes from them out in the future compared to me turning away from those commandments, following my own way and having some gold. This says, I love your commandments more than I love the temporal things. We have a fixed price today. You can find out the price of gold and it fluctuates. But you can tell what it is at this minute if you wanted to sell it. So we can find out what the value of temporal things are. But I want to be able to love his commandments. Psalms 1:1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful, but he's got a delight. What's his delight? Does he say, boy, I delight in panning for some gold. One of these days I might get me a chunk of it. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. And there are some great benefits that then come from it. There is another verse, Psalms 119 and 72. The law of thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. You know, those are some pretty strong statements. Those are some statements that I understand the value of this over here. I know how much an ounce it's going for. But I also see the value of God's law. Remember, what was it in Psalms 119 right at the beginning? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Me seeing the value of tucking those scriptures away, those commandments away, because these verses, they almost seem like they're a little stretched. The law of thy mouth is better to me than thousands of gold and silver. You know what? Maybe we can think they're stretched until we compare it to eternity. If I only could see the value, and a lot of the world looks at it as we're talking about right now. We're not talking about out in the future. But this 72nd verse becomes very valuable to me when I start realizing that when I can understand what the law of the Lord is to me and I follow it and I make heaven my home for eternity, it'll be better to me than thousands of gold and silver, the temporal things that I could get. There was another verse in Psalms in the 19th chapter, Psalms 19. And 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And then he says, it's more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. The judgments of the Lord, how the Lord looks at a situation and judges it, is more important to me than all this effort that has been put forth in the past to be able to get some more temporal gold. I want that to be in my life because eternity is out ahead. But then there's another verse. It's in Proverbs, the 22nd chapter. Proverbs 22 and the first verse. A good name. How valuable is a good name? You know what a good name is, happens by the actions in my life and how people remember that. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I have an option here. I can have a good name or I can have a lot of money and lose the good name because of how I got it. It's really saying almost to me that the two won't go together with this verse. If I'm rich, I cannot have a good name. But it says a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. It's what I consider to be valuable. Because you know what I put value on? If I realize, you know what, a good name is more important than any amount of gold that I could get, then I will put value on maintaining that good name. Asking the Lord to help me in the decisions that I make, the choices that I choose, the directions that I choose to go, so that I would have a name that is not defiled. And then there is another one. I want to look at it in 1 Peter. Back in 1 Peter in the first chapter again. Because it tells us that there is something else that when God compares it, it's real valuable. 1 Peter 1 and 7. The trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perisheth. Now that's quite a statement. The troubles that God allows to come into my life could be more valuable when put on the scale of life than gold that I could have. Because this says, than gold that perisheth. The trial of my faith is more valuable than gold that perisheth. It is very important for me, maybe at my age, but also I believe for young people, that the decisions that you make, measure them by eternity. Because that's what this is. Even the troubles that come into my life, if I'll measure it by eternity, I will say that right was the pathway leading to this, no matter what came into my life, if at the end I hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. So as we start seeing how God compares gold, he looks at it a little different. He provided it. I believe God saw that out in the future, even though Adam and Eve didn't need it, there would be, as more people came along, there's going to be some need to be able to, instead of just the bartering system, we're going to have some way for money. And he provided that. But then he comes along, he starts telling us, you know what, don't get too hung up in that, because the spiritual part is so much more valuable than the other. And Job realized that when he said, you know, I'm in a lot of trouble. And when I look on the right hand, I used to be able to find God over here. He's not there. I look on the left hand, the right hand. I look behind me. I look all around and I don't see him, but I tell you what. When he has tried me, I know he knows the way that I take. I do know that much. And when he has tried me, I'm going to come forth as gold. There will be great value in my life to prepare me for some things. You know that happened to Job. He did the first two chapters. He went through those things with him. He graduated. He flying colors. But that was just a short part of his life. And time kept going on to where there were some times when he said, I'll tell you what, I wish I could have an audience with God. I'd like to ask him some questions. And God gave him that audience. God said, for about three or four chapters, where were you? Job, you got some questions about how I'm doing things. Job, where were you when I created the earth? Tell me, where were you when I did this and this? This is at the latter part of Job. And you know, Job then, he put his hand over his mouth. I don't have anything else to say. Lord, I realize that you understand everything. So as we look at the world going after literal gold, money, the temporal things, and we have to do it ourselves to a certain extent. But I do want to remember, this is temporal. I'm looking at eternal. And then I start realizing, you know what? Should I get it? Should I get some money? Let me realize it's all going to be burned up one day. It's going to be my soul that is the most important thing. God would like for us to be able to be balanced in it. And then to be able to realize now real trouble has come into my life. And then I realize the trial of my faith is more precious than gold because it is perfecting me for something that's out ahead to be able to make heaven my home. And I am very thankful for that. Matthew 6 and 19. Here it's saying, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So, you know, to find the balance, if God said, quit your job, don't do anything but read your Bible and I'll take care of you. But he doesn't do that. He tells us you're going to take care of the temporal things, but I want you to also realize the value of the spiritual things. So here's my test. Where my treasure is, there will my heart be also. And so I can work that equation the other way. Where my heart is, I can quickly find where my treasure is. Is my heart on spiritual things? How often do I think about eternity to compare this life that I'm going through? Because you know what, as young people, you can take a look at it. You feel like you've got 70 years out ahead, got some decisions to make. You know, the decisions right now can affect you out in eternity. I just look at people that make a choice about who they marry, and that can affect where I spend eternity. So these kind of things, I want to have my treasure on spiritual things. I want the Lord to know, okay, Lord, I'm going to have to go to work tomorrow. But that's not where my heart is. Yes, I've got to be able to focus on the job and do it well. But I don't want my heart to be given over to those things. I want to seek the Lord and put it first. There's a verse that says in Proverbs, the second chapter, because Proverbs, right at the beginning, it tells us that wisdom is so important. And wisdom is when I have knowledge and I apply it into my life. Second chapter and the first verse. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear into wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. If thou criest after knowledge. You know, you hear three different words here. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. So I've got to be able to understand something and have a knowledge of it and then the wisdom of applying that knowledge. You know, a lot of people have knowledge, but it's not applied. So I would like to have it applied in my life. The wisdom that cometh from above, there is an earthly wisdom, but I want to be able to have a knowledge of what God has for me. You know, it says, eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, Neither hath entered into man, the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for him. And you know, I don't think that's talking about just over on the other side of the end of my life. The things that are available to me today, if I will keep the balance of temporal things and spiritual things. God put gold there with Adam and Eve, and they had no use for it at all. But he realized out in the future there could be a use for it. But we can keep a balance in our lives for the temporal things and the spiritual things. And I want to be able to see how valuable it is to God. Those things that I would rather not even have happen in my life, the trial of your faith, that means there's some trouble has come to me. In his sight, it's more precious than the gold that we would like to have so much. I desire your prayers.